Father, in the name of Jesus, we just still our hearts before you. And Lord, we open ourselves and our posture and our hands and we say, Jesus, we want to receive whatever it is you want to say. Help us to hear your voice, Lord. Help us to hear your voice in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that everybody would get one thing, even just one thing, Lord, that they can take away and go, I'm going to practice that. I'm going to walk in that. So we just want to say thank you, Father, for the gift of prayer, getting to commune with you, getting to abide in you, be connected to you, Father. What a gift that is. Lord, we love you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Wow. Well, I just have some really simple, hopefully practical thoughts for you. I'm a very down-to-earth kind of girl, so I wanted to talk to you about relationships, and I'm fascinated with relationships. We shared last night, Ian and I had the privilege of raising four sons, and now we have 10 grandkids, and just the beautiful diversity of all of those kids and all of our sons. And the Lord taught me so much in getting to be a part, and even being pastors and leaders, of just being with people that are so unique and recognizing them and valuing them in the image of God. And so over the years, I've had this journey with Jesus in my prayer life. And so I just wanted to share with you some of the things the Lord has taught me, because I don't know about you, but it's marriage or relationships with people. If we're not constantly wanting to learn and grow and understand, we can get stuck, we can get dry, we can get isolated, and we can go inward. And the Father is always wanting us to see the more that he has for us, right? He's never stuck. And so one of my thoughts this morning for you in prayer was just this idea that Jesus, his disciples came to him, and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And I remember just in the last few years, that's just been the cry of my heart, because I thought I knew a bunch of stuff. And I'm one of those, you know, good girls, and I try to do it right. Like, what's the right way to do this? And I will do it that way. Tell me what to do, and I will do it that way. Some of you are more out of the box, and you try stuff. Good for you. I'm learning. But at that time, I was just like, as a young woman growing up in the church, I just was so hungry for God, and I just wanted to do it right. And then we got married, and we had the kids, and we decided, I had heard about homeschooling, and it really resonated with my heart. It was just, I'm not saying it's for everyone, but for me it was. And so I talked it over with Ian, and he was nervous because he's Mr. Intellectual, and I'm not so much. And it was just more like, we really wanted to disciple our kids. That's just the passion that we had, and we knew that the call of God was on Ian and I both, but especially on him, just to pastor. And so our hearts were to stay close to our kids. How are we going to do that? And so this whole discipleship idea of being relational with them, and just that journey of discovering that just because I had four boys did not at all mean that they were all alike. They were so different. And I had to figure out how they were wired, what their personalities were like, and their learning styles. And I had to adjust myself to that. And so one of the very first things that the Father started to show me about his relationship with me, I'm going to just do an acronym because that's how I think sometimes. So prayer is going to be your acronym this morning. And the P part for me was personal. That my prayers and my connection with the Father was personal. One size doesn't fit all. And so in that, the liberation that came to my heart, because there was different ways that we were taught to pray, and there was value in all of those things. But you know, it was like Saul's armor. It didn't fit. It didn't fit me. And so I would try to do those kinds of things, but often it was just more of a sense of legalism for me. It didn't actually it didn't feel natural for me. And so I just began to say, Lord, would you teach me how to pray? How do I connect best with you? And I know some of you will have read books on prayer, and you will have looked at different ways that we can connect with the Father, but I'll tell you, one of the best ways that I connect with the Lord is in quiet. I am not somebody who is like, Ian is noisy, he likes to pace around and he talks really loud and he likes to quote scripture and worship and he does all those things. And then he says, and then there's Val in her rocking chair journaling, you know, and just being quiet. When I'm quiet with the Lord, that seems to be a way that I can connect with him. And the Lord just began to show me that he's just really personal. Think of the 12 disciples. What a motley crew. All so different, and yet Jesus is connecting with them. Last night I shared about one of my favorite families in Scripture, which is Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And those three were so different, weren't they? Martha's the worker. She's the worker bee, and she gets annoyed when other people aren't working too. And I know that feeling sometimes. And then there's Mary, who just can't get enough of just being with Jesus and sitting at his feet and adoring him. And then Lazarus, I said last night, he has absolutely no lines at all in the script, not one thing to say, but he's just seen sitting with Jesus. And not only that, God trusts him with death and a resurrection to be a testimony for the glory of God. And I just thought, what amazing diversity that the Father has in the body of Christ, that we can connect with him. Another way that I just love to be with Jesus is when I go for a walk in nature. I feel so close to God. So sometimes it's in a worship setting like this. I love that we can take a big drink from the Father and be with him in his presence. But often for me, it's in quiet. It's just being alone with the Lord. And so I grew up in a house of prayer. I just wanted to say that too. I grew up, I was just so privileged to have that opportunity that when I would get up in the morning as a child, I knew I was on a farm and my mom was sitting in front of the furnace with a blanket around her and the Word of God open. And she was praying. And my dad, I knew, would be outside in the office in the shop that he had. And he was spending time with Jesus. And so just that modeling of a relational attitude of prayer, I'm just so grateful that I had that. And I just wanted to say, if there were any young families in the room, any young parents, I just wanted to encourage you, let your kids see you pray. Let them see you pray. Have that time with Jesus so that they know this is what mom and dad do. This is a normal, regular part of mom and dad's life. And I have no idea why I put this particular scripture in for this particular point, but I'm just going to say this verse, I really do love it. And it has helped me many times over the years. Psalm 50 says this, "He who sacrifices thank offerings, so giving thanks to the Lord, honors me, and he prepares the way." This is the NIV 1984 version, okay? So yes, I know I love the NIV 84. "He prepares the way that I may show him the salvation of God," right? So when we're giving thanksgiving, when we're honoring God, we are preparing the way. So again, I have no idea why it's under that point. I'm sorry, I apologize for my notes, but that's for somebody. Just take it. There you go. Okay, let's move on here now to R. And I call this point, prayer is relevant. It's relevant. The Lord's Prayer says this. Matthew 6:11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." This day. The Father knows the season you're in. The Father knows what you need. And it's not always the same, is it? So prayer is relevant. And in different seasons, like I said, I literally would say to the Lord, and I have been saying to the Lord, and even now I'm saying to the Lord, "Teach me how to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done, right? God, I want to pray your prayers. I want to pray the prayers of heaven over my life, over my family, over my church, over kingdom things that God has, right? I want to pray his prayers." And I just wanted to share some things that the Lord's been speaking to me through the last few years, because we've gone through some hard stuff. And you all have too. If I could sit with each one of you and have a coffee, I have no doubt we'd have quite the stories to swap about different things and different challenges, right? And so here's some things that the Lord began to show me to pray, and maybe some of them will relate to you. So I'm an introvert, believe it or not, and I'm kind of on that border, right? So I love people, but I tank up by myself. And so the Lord, I just began to say, "Father, I get anxious when I'm around a whole bunch of people." And you know, just like the expectation and the need because of the draw of energy and stuff. And he's sufficient. I know his grace is sufficient. But here's one of the things he taught me, and I teach pastors sometimes to pray, or pastors' wives. And I said, "Lord, hide me and guide me. Hide me." Because sometimes for those of us that people really need us and we want to give out to others and we just have this love in our heart, but it's a lot. I don't know if any of you are like me, but I have a lot of connections and I love people and I care about them. And because I can be very empathetic, they want to talk to me. And I was finding myself getting drained quite a lot. And the Lord just dropped it in my spirit and he said, ask me to hide you and guide you. To hide you and guide you and to get the people in that he wants me to connect with. And so that was just became one of my prayers. The other prayer that I pray for my life on a regular basis is, God, prune my life, prune my tree, manage my time and my energy. One time I was driving on the Deerfoot and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. That's one of the main arteries of Calgary. And the Holy Spirit said to me, he says, I want, just out of the blue, this thought came to me. And he says, Val, I want you to ask me to release you from burdens and assignments that are no longer yours to carry. You're actually still carrying them and you don't realize it. And I want you to ask me. So I prayed his prayer. I prayed his prayer because he told me to pray it. Lately, the Father's been saying to me, Val, can I carry your heart? Can you just hand it over? Because it's feeling so many feels because we have so much going on right now. There's so many things that are happening and it feels overwhelming. And he just said, can I carry your heart? As an empath as well, the Lord has said to me, he said, he taught me how to pray this. Help me feel only what I need to feel. Help me pray only what I need to feel. No more, no less. That might sound really strange to some of you. But sometimes if you're a prophetic feeler type person, you pick up a lot of stuff. When I'm around people, I pick up a lot of stuff. And it can, again, be overwhelming. And I want to focus on whatever it is the Father's wanting me to focus on. And so I say, Lord, help me only feel what you need me to feel, right? One of the other things I've had to learn is letting go of the day. The Father said, right? He said, don't worry about tomorrow. And I was worrying about tomorrow all the time, all the things that were coming. And it just felt like a tsunami of all the things. And so at night, he taught me. He said, Val, when you lie down, I want you to go through your day with me. It's almost like the prayer of examiner, however you say that name. And he said, I want you to release everything that happened today, good or bad. Release it to me. Let it go so that tomorrow we start afresh. And the picture that he gave me was of somebody who was climbing a mountain and a hiker, and they had the backpack on and they had the boots on and they were sweaty because they'd gone up for the hike and they'd done the thing and they'd gone out and exploring and it was hot in the day and then they came home and they were home and they just crawled into bed with all their gear on. He said, would you actually do that? No, Lord, I would not. He said, no, you wouldn't. You take it all off, you'd go have a shower and then you'd go to bed. And he said, that's what you need to do in prayer. You need to lie down and you need to think about everything that you've been carrying today and lay it down. So these are just some simple things that the Father has been teaching me what to do here. And then another thing I just want to point out under this one too is that Joyce Meyer said something years ago that stuck with me. And she said, the Word of God is the language of the Holy Spirit. And one of the concerns that I've had sometimes in talking with younger generation people is that, especially for some reason, like spirit-filled, charismatic-y types, is they really, really enjoy the presence of God, the experience of being with Jesus, but they haven't cultivated the discipline of the Word of God. And praying His prayers is knowing His Word. And His Word, the written word and the rhema word, right? They're connected. And you can't just live by the Spirit if you don't know the Word of God. And so I just want to encourage you, just give yourself to the Word of God afresh if that's a dry area in your life. And a word of encouragement too to us as parents. There's a scripture in Judges chapter 3. And it was really helpful to me because it said that the Lord had taught his children in the promised land, but then it said in the new land that they went into, it said he actually left some enemies in there because the new generation didn't know how to war like their parents did. And I thought, man, as a mom, I've tried to do all the spiritual work to clean up my history in the Lord and my history, the lineage of our past, and we've done all these special prayer things, and I believe in those things. Those are so good. But what the Lord has shown me as my kids have gone through hard things is that they need their own journey with Jesus, and he actually has left enemies in the land so that they could learn how to war. So my job now as a mom and a grandma is to pray that in their journey, as they face their giants, as they face their trials and challenges, that God would help them to dig into him, press into him, and cling to him. That's our role. That's my role in that. The A is for always. And I love this. I was reading this just the other day, so I included it. Oswald Chambers, again, my utmost for his highest, May 26, said this, "Pray without ceasing. The correct concept is to think of prayer as the breath in our lungs and the blood from our hearts. Our blood flows and our breathing continues without ceasing. We are not even conscious of it, but it never stops. And we are not always conscious of Jesus keeping us in perfect oneness with God. But if we're obeying him, he always is. Prayer is not an exercise. It is the life of a saint." Isn't that rich? That is rich. And I just thought, yes, Lord, air in my lungs, the blood in my veins. Let that be my connection with the Father. I guess A could always be for abiding, couldn't it? Words are fun. Always and abiding. We are always abiding. That's the Father's relationship. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you." James 5:13, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray." Pray. Ephesians 6:18, "Pray in the Spirit." Look at this. "On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." All the time. All the time. That the Father, we would find ourselves reaching for the Father all the time. That instead of worrying, we are worshiping and then we are warfaring, and whatever it is that we need to do, we are connecting with the Father no matter what's going on. And the other thought I just wanted to remind us all of is this gift that God has given us by the Holy Spirit to pray in tongues. I want to encourage you, if you're rusty, as I get rusty sometimes, some people just have such a good discipline of it, and I do, and then I don't, and then I do, and then I don't. But I read a book years ago that really challenged my heart, and if you know this author, she's pretty something, Jackie Pullinger, Chasing the Dragon. Please read that book if you have not. You will have such a sense, Jackie Pullinger, P-U-L-L-I-N-G-E-R, Chasing the Dragon. She has a phenomenal story that I won't go into, but what she discovered was that when she really tapped into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the assignment that God had given her took off like a rocket, and she began to teach other people and pray for them, and as soon as they got saved, she ministered to them and got them filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was a unique situation, but boy, she saw deliverances like never before, and I've had moments where the Holy Spirit has said to me, "Val, today you need to pray in tongues like you haven't in a long time, and you need to pray a lot." And so every moment I would get, I would be priming that pump, priming that pump, priming the pump so the water can flow. And then within days, all of a sudden, I would see I was in situations, I was in circumstances, and the wisdom would flow. And the divine appointments would just be there. And I would marvel at the difference that that would make. It is an untapped resource sometimes. It's an unused gift many times in our lives that we take for granted. It was never meant to be a one and done. It was meant to be an ongoing gift from the Holy Spirit, and not just for Sunday mornings, right? It's meant to be in the car, at the sink, in between clients. It is meant to be all the time. And the Father has gifts that he wants to give us as we call on him in the Spirit. Prayer is yielding. Y is for yielded. And again, last night I was sharing regarding Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and I was just talking about that experience again. I just marvel at their relationship with Jesus, at their love for him, and the way that he was good, good friends with them. And then they went through this experience where he doesn't show up the way that they wanted or when they wanted him to. And so many times we know that God doesn't show up. You know, I know some of you know our story, and I shared it a bit last night too, but with my mom and dad's death, and when I was 19 years old in that car accident, and just living with that in the church and thinking, I thought we had a deal, God. If I lived for you, if I loved you and served you, and mom and dad were such great people, I thought that, you know, all the bad things, they're not supposed to happen to us, right? But that was not what I experienced. I experienced that my mom and dad went home to be with Jesus at a very young age. And I was a young woman that was an orphan. and my siblings, 17, 15, and 13. And the Father just teaching me to just be yielded to Him. And it didn't come right away. It was over the years of just sitting with Him and trying to. Of course I wanted to know why. Of course you do. Of course we want to make sense of the things that are happening to us. But most of the time, that is not the way it is with the Father, is it? But instead, this is this surrender and this yielding to Him and letting go. And Job, because of what I went through, Job became one of my favorite characters in the Bible because he understood. I could relate to him to some small measure because he went through way more than I had. And I loved what Job said. He said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. We don't say that very easily. I don't say that very easily. No way. No way, God. But yet he did. Hebrews chapter 11, heroes of faith. It says that many of them went to be, they died without seeing the promise. We don't talk about that very often, do we? But there are things sometimes that we don't see. And yet God asks us to ask anyway. Sometimes we have the Abraham story where the long delay. But then there's other times that, you know, I know my mom and dad had lots of dreams in their hearts. Lots of things they'd been praying for. And they went to be with Jesus. But just that yieldedness to say, Lord, whenever, however, whatever you're going to do, whatever you want to do, I am going to surrender. Even Jesus in the garden, right? He said, Lord, could you take this cup from me? And yet, not my will, not my will. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I loved their response, right, to that king who said, we're going to throw you in the fire if you don't bow down. And they said, we know that our God is able to save us, but even if he doesn't. Can you and I say that today? Can we be open-handed with our relationship with Jesus and the things that we're believing him for? And it's not that you shouldn't believe him for big things. Actually, I was going to say this too when I was standing at the back. And it was interesting because I forgot that in your message you were talking about labor, you know, the intercession and the birthing. And I could see when we were singing that song, as the Spirit hovered over the water, Spirit come over us, right? Come rest on us. And I just saw that there's some, I just want to speak this out over you. Some of you, there's a conception of the Holy Spirit that was happening today, that there's a birthing, that there's a beginning of a growth of some new things that God, new dreams, new visions that God is putting in your spirit. And I just want to bless you in the name of Jesus with the faith to carry those dreams and to give birth to those things, those new things that God has. I really believe that in this church. So if that's for you today, just receive that. Prayer is expecting. Expecting. Psalm 5:3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and I wait in expectation. So even though we're yielded, even though we're asking and believing and we're open-handed to the how, the when, the where, even the who, right, of how God's going to do what he's doing, we are still called to be expectant of his goodness. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Waiting is hard work, isn't it? It is hard work to wait on the Lord. And there's this quote that I love from a leadership book that I was reading. And it says, the most important thing a leader can do is to get alone with God in an unhurried, uninterrupted time until they clearly know God has spoken and what he wants. Waiting on God is not a passive activity. It is one of the most strenuous, agonizing, faith-stretching times in a leader's life. And many of us have been socialized to think that unless we're constantly in motion, we are unproductive. There is no reason to be embarrassed or apologize about the need to retreat for an hour a day or longer to gain God's perspective on a matter. Seeking the mind of God at the front end of a decision can save us years of painful regret later. I just want to encourage you to think about this concept of waiting. It's important to wait. Wait for the Lord. I'm not great at it at all. I don't enjoy waiting. I can be very impatient. But more and more, the older I get, the more I realize I've watched God move. I've watched God move, not at all in a way that I wanted or in the timing that I wanted, but he did show up. He did show up, and he was faithful, and it's important. And I love Mary's response to Jesus where she says, even now, Lord, There was a sense of expectation in Martha when she was asking about Lazarus, even now. And that's the Father's heart. That's the tension of our life of faith, right? Our life of prayer is just saying, even now, Lord, and yet I'm going to trust you. I'm going to rest in you. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And I just felt like the Lord said again, he wants us to shed some old skin and renew our faith. Renew our faith, renew our youth. The way you used to believe, the way you used to trust. We had a situation in our church that was really difficult. We had a beautiful young woman who was on our worship team. And I absolutely loved her. She was the sweetest soul and absolutely as beautiful on the outside as she was on the inside. And she had a brain tumor at the age of 16. And she had gone down to the States, down here somewhere, and had gotten it operated on and lived. And she was a miracle. She was on 100 Huntley Street, all the things. And then she got married, and she started having kiddos, and she got it again. And she went through that again, and she still was spared. And she was in our church at that time, and, you know, we were just watching her life and being with her. And then one day she came up after a service, and she came up for prayer, and she said, Val, I'm starting to get dizzy again. This was the third time. She was 28. And I remember just going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And she went for a checkup and found out she was pregnant. Third child. And so they had to make a painful decision. Sorry, she wasn't dizzy because she was pregnant. They found out. When they had found the cancer, they also found out she was pregnant. And so they had to decide, thank you, I hear that. They had to decide that what they were going to do. Were they going to spare baby or take her life, allow her to go? And I remember getting before the Lord, and I was absolutely devastated. And the Lord just said to my heart, he said, I want you to pray like you've never been disappointed before. And I thought, Father, I don't even know how to do that. That's impossible for me. But you know what? We began to do it. We dug into prayer. We dug into faith. And we believed God. And Melanie still died. And that was just a really, really tough moment. A really, really tough moment. And yet the Lord said, I still want you to be expectant. And I think for some of us, because we've been hurt, because we've been disappointed, we're still wearing old skin from the disappointments of the past. And there's some wrestling that needs to happen to push through, to get rid of that old skin, and it's in the presence of the Lord. It's by being with him. And the last point I want to say is prayer is restorative. When you're in his presence, when you're with him and you're honest about what you're facing, I've still seen miracles. Just because that happened to Melanie doesn't mean I haven't heard of other great things or good things, so we do know that. But you know what? Being in God's presence renews my heart, my faith. And I love the story of Lazarus again when he comes out of the grave and Jesus calls him forth. Jesus says, unwrap him and let him go. And I thought about that. You and I need the help. Sometimes we need the help of others to get rid of the things, the disappointments, and the struggles that we've had in life where we've believed him for things. And we need God to minister to us, to unwrap us, so we can go and we can keep going to keep doing the things that God's called us for. And God wants to restore you and I. And I want to encourage you with this. You know, Ian and I work with leaders all the time. We work with people. We pastored for almost 30 years. We're still pastoring. But one of the things that we realize is that many times people don't deal with their disappointments and their brokenness, and they try to keep moving forward. And they're walking with chains and shackles around their legs and their feet and their faith. And the Father wants to set us free. So that's not what's happening to us. So I want to encourage you, when you're with Jesus and you realize that there's still some things that are pulling you down, I want to encourage you, don't just let those things hang on. God wants to set you free. And you might need help, just like Lazarus did. Lazarus said, unwrap him. He's talking to some people that are around Lazarus, waiting for the miracles. And he says, unwrap him. Help him get set free. Help him come out of those old clothes and to get into newness again. And so the Father wants to say to you, he wants to help you to be unwrapped. And I love the very ending of that story when they are again hosting Jesus. Martha is serving. Lazarus is at the table. And Mary takes that perfume and she just pours it out. And it's lavish and it's extravagant in the fragrance of Jesus. And that's the beautiful thing. When you and I are in a vibrant relationship with Jesus, a real relationship where we're being ourselves, when we know God cares about our moment. I know many times I've packed around anxiety and the Father said, Val, quit trying to do all the things. I already know what's going on. Why don't you just talk to me about it, right? Get rid of it. Let's deal with this right now. And I'm yielding to him. And I'm still believing him for the things I can't see yet. I am restored. I am restored. And when I'm stuck, I let the body of Christ come around me and minister to me. And it's not just me serving others, it's me receiving from others. And I want to encourage you with that. I don't care how long you've known Jesus. If you need help to be unwrapped, get help. Get the help that you need because the Father wants to minister to you and restore your faith. Let's close our eyes just for a moment. Father, again, we just want to say thank you for the gift of prayer. Father, the disciples never had a clue, Lord, when they asked that question. And when you taught them that simple prayer, they didn't know all the things they were going to walk through. They didn't know that you were going to go and leave and release them. But you sent the Holy Spirit. You empowered them. And they walked, Lord, and they were dispersed so that they could share the gospel with a world that so badly needed to see and know your presence. And Father, I want to thank you that prayer is for us, but prayer is more than that, God. It is a vibrant, abiding relationship where we receive your grace and we release your grace. I just want to offer you this opportunity right now. If you're feeling dry in your connection with Jesus, if you're feeling disappointed, if you've got old skin that you need to be shed this morning, I just want to encourage you to lift your hands by faith. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to agree together. We're going to agree together. We're going to release and give those burdens to Jesus. We're going to yield them to him right now. So, Father, you see my brothers and sisters, and you see these hands, and God, you know what they're carrying, and you see the pressures that they're under, the discouragement, the confusion, Jesus, the dryness. Lord, maybe it's doubt or unbelief, disappointment, Father. God, pain. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, we roll that onto you. We release that to you, God. Lord, we ask for help. We ask that you would renew us. Renew our strength, Lord. Renew our strength, God. Lord, heal us, Jesus. Would you unwrap us today, God? And Lord, if we need more help, give us the courage to say, I need help. I'm stuck. I want to be loosed, but I don't know how. God, we release these things to you. And we receive now in the name of Jesus. We receive your grace. We receive your grace, God. We receive. Lord, let the rain of heaven fall in this place. Let it fall, Holy Spirit. God, for those of us that are dry, let it fall. Renew our love like at the first. Renew first love, Jesus. Lord, refresh. Refresh our relationship with you. Thank you that you're a personal God. You don't treat us just like one piece of many. Lord, you treat us as a child. God, renew our trust and our faith in you. Bless my brothers and sisters, Holy Spirit. Lord, let this not just be a one and done moment. God, I pray that this would just be many moments now, the beginning of something so beautiful. And we trust you, God, for all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.